Out of Home Insider, the first podcast made just for media and marketing executives about how to create alchemy in the real world, blending marketing art and marketing science to create brand experiences that drive impact you can measure. My name is Tim Rowe, and for the past 3 years, I've been interviewing industry experts for their unique insight on this topic, and today's recap is of episode 97 with Mary Perella from Vango Labs. Now, if you've never connected with Mary before at an industry event or just on LinkedIn, I'm going to encourage you to do that right now because Mary is one of the kindest people in our industry. She's always eager to meet a new friend and just super generous with her experience and expertise, naturally because she did a podcast episode sharing all of that. So I linked to Mary's LinkedIn in the show notes to make it easy for you to connect with her. And re-listening to this episode got me really excited because I forgot how many important real-world marketing concepts we talked about. And I think it really helps to frame the conversation around how brands should consider out-of-home in the media mix, and specifically how place-based media is becoming a viable substitute for exhausted mobile advertising budgets. But let's get into the really tactical stuff that stood out from the conversation with Mary. The first idea that really resonated in preparation for this episode was the relevance and importance of context. Funny enough, I was catching up with the CEO of Intersection recently, Chris Grosso, and he said, context is time and place. And I've got it on a sticky note here on my desk. So when Mary said the word context, as I was re-listening to the episode, it sent me down a rabbit hole around lean back versus lean in moments and how to use the context of an opportunity to determine what type of content should be included in your creative. If you're running on a network of, let's say, 55-inch screens in an airport, maybe there are kiosks located throughout the concourse. Where are they located? Like literally, physically, where are the ones that you're buying? Are they near areas where people are sitting down, waiting for a flight, taking in the environment around them? If so, you could choose to go the full lean back moment of brand marketing, using the opportunity to remind your audience to visit Seattle on their next trip, or maybe you're more conversion focused and looking for a bottom of funnel moment. So lean in content that offers that features an offer or a call to action could be most valuable there. Yet if those same screens were maybe placed somewhere where people are just moving all the time, maybe take that same screen, take that same kind of kiosk and put it on a New York City street where folks are just moving, you know, quickly kind of from point A to point B, they may not be taking in as much of the environment around them. So it's important to focus on what the context is and how to make the most of that moment. So if we are on New York City streets, it might not make sense for the lean-in conversion-oriented creative because the context doesn't make sense. I'm heads down, focused on moving to an objective, and I have little time to take in the environment around me, so a message might be best. But if it's during lunchtime, and you know that the majority of folks out on the street between 11 and 1 are looking for a place to eat, well, now that same screen in a slightly different context becomes an entirely different thing unto itself. So context, time and place, and I guess an element of that is what are you actually doing at that time and place? This ultimately leads into an even larger conversation around measuring impacts to the overall marketing mix, which we'll save for later this week. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss that. Another strong theme that throughout the conversation was how place-based media is really becoming a viable alternative for mobile advertising that traditionally targeted audiences based on where they were or where they had been in the physical world, which is just, you know, so meta and funny. You've probably heard about geofencing. And while once upon a time the term was exclusively used to refer to the serving of mobile display ads to people at a specific place, it's kind of come to take on various meanings in different applications. But originally, geofencing was this: I want to serve mobile display ads to people at Jamba Juice because I'm targeting people who like Jamba Juice because they may also like the thing I sell, or maybe I'm a competitor. Whatever the case may be, I want to geofence Jamba Juice and serve ads to people that go there. There was something important about that audience to the marketing objective, so you served mobile ads to them based on them having actually been there. So over time, though, geofencing has been replaced by a number of things, not the least of which is the rise of retail media networks, which are the online properties of retailers like Amazon, where brands can run advertising within Amazon's ecosystem to reach Amazon's customers who might be aligned to that brand specifically. Amazon's retail media network, of course, it includes Amazon itself, all the sponsored listings that you see, but it also includes things like ads on streaming services like Amazon Prime. So it's all of those properties that Amazon has. Any place that they can serve an ad, that would be considered Amazon's retail media network. So as retail media networks on the internet have gained in popularity for much the same reason that geofencing was so popular, the physical retail media network opportunities, that is digital screens in physical brick and mortar footprints, present much the same moment for brands to reach people while they're at a specific place, capitalizing on whatever behavior it is they want to capitalize on. Maybe they sell a product in the store where the retail media network is located, or maybe they just have something in common with the audience who shops there. Either way, the point of purchase is now in our pockets, so place-based media could be a way to hedge against struggling mobile ad performance if your objective is to reach specific audiences in specific contexts, and thus the rise of programmatic digital out of home. Ironically, the guest spotlight recap that is right behind this episode with Mary is with Brooke Ermagenis, who's the founder of DOOHX, which is the first online academy for learning all about programmatic digital out of home. So there's going to be a nice theme the next couple of weeks around programmatic and measurement. So again, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any of that content. We talked about the value of using dynamic capabilities that digital offers, that is being able to call out specific neighborhoods and areas can be particularly effective and is now something that scales. Being able to say, hey, Brooklyn, and only the ads running in Brooklyn adds an element of personalization that cuts through the noise and stands out. So simple things like that, the brands can take advantage of. In fact, I was having a cool conversation yesterday with a brand about using callouts like this across a statewide campaign. So thinking about the implications of these things at scale can be really, really exciting. Oh, I loved this one from the conversation. People are not always on their phones. It has felt like a cop-out for years whenever someone says, everyone's just on their phones. And I get what we mean when we say it, but that's not really what we mean. If everyone was just on their phone all the time, the world would be a very weird place. Not that it isn't, it'd just be even weirder. But the reality is that's not the case, and the data backs it up. Advertisers have been talking about the declining performance of online advertising since 2019. That's months before COVID lockdowns forced so much advertising into the palm of our hands that we got sick of it. More than half the country, that's the United States, more than half the country is using some sort of ad blocker. And 1 in 10 people are masking their location data with a VPN. So you don't know where they actually are. How accurate is your mobile targeting now? 10% of the audience doesn't want you to know where they are. 50% of the audience doesn't want to see your ads. And if they had it their way, they're just going to avoid them altogether. Add to that that 60% of the buying decision is done before a customer even contacts your company. It's a really stark reminder that advertising is much more for discovery and purchase validation than it is for actually converting. And I'm using air quotes on converting. The challenge remains, though, around measurement. It's not that anyone disagrees with any of what I just said, but despite all of the shortcomings, advertising on the internet for now still offers better feedback loops than advertising in the real world. And again, we'll be talking more about measurement and how I think you can lead the conversation around it. Look for that episode later this week. Place-based media offers the opportunity for brands to use a concept that I call real-world retargeting. That is to understand your customer's literal daily journey via data sources like Placer AI. And knowing that my Costco customer goes to Planet Fitness and Orange Theory to work out, and that they shop at the mall downtown, they love to frequent a great restaurant near where they work. You think about all the places a potential person in a target audience goes to during their day, and then explore the opportunities to be there with them. It will do two things. One, it's going to make it feel like you're everywhere, but in a really efficient way because you're using data-driven insight about their physical customer journey to inform how you reach them during their day. And two, it's going to create a high degree of trust with that audience, seeing you in places that are most important to them too. Trust leads to engagement, and ultimately, that's the name of the game. Using data to find contextually relevant moments where we can serve differentiated content to people that are likely to engage with it. If that's your advertising strategy, you will never lose. The final thing I'll leave you with from this episode is defining what an impression is. Yes, impressions have become a unit of measure, a means of standardizing pricing, if you will. But what is an impression? Literally, the definition. No, not the reach frequency definition, but what does it mean to impress? Impression. This is the definition of impression. An idea, feeling, or opinion about something or someone, especially one formed without conscious thought or on the basis of little evidence. Let's get back to using impressions to make impressions instead of just serving them like turkey at a carving station. You get an impression, you get an impression. Move along, you get an impression. How about getting back to trying to impress someone with your impressions instead of just using them to calculate CPM and rationalize a media cost? That's it for this one. It was a really exciting episode to recap because there were concepts buried in there that we've shared here today. If you want to get that full conversation, it's linked in the show notes. I encourage you to check out the full conversation. As always, make sure to share this with somebody else who could benefit. Start a conversation today with a colleague or a client. We'll see y'all next time.